Governor Herbert sends a letter to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The tar sands monster pays a visit to downtown Salt Lake City. And the Utah State Board of Regents okays a policy change that could increase college tuition for those who drag their feet. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, November 20th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Governor Gary Herbert sent a letter yesterday to U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. The letter declares the governor's intentions to continue to pursue Utah's state-based health insurance exchange, known as Avenue H, rather than a federally designed exchange. But the letter also says that this decision could change as the state receives more information. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Enclosed with Governor Gary Herbert's letter is a list of top 10 unanswered questions about federal exchanges. Norman Thurston is the Health Reform Implementation Coordinator in the Governor's office.
We have a whole long list of unanswered questions about what federal exchange would mean for Utah. So how much added cost would a federal exchange add on to our system? How much would they want to collect from our consumers, from our business community? Would they charge the state? Those sorts of questions.
Also on the list are questions about control. For instance, would state policymakers be able to influence key operational decisions? The governor says in the letter that he will make a final decision based on how HHS answers these and other questions. The new deadline for states to declare their intentions on health exchanges is December 14th. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The tar sands monster made an appearance in downtown Salt Lake today at a demonstration against the development of tar sands in Utah. KUER's Dan Bamas was there.
About two dozen demonstrators gathered outside the Bureau of Land Management office at the Gateway to offer their own People's Environmental Impact Statement on tar sands. They object to a decision by the federal government to make more than 130,000 acres available for tar sands development in Utah. Right now, the only active tar sands project in Utah is the proposed U.S. oil sands mine at PR Springs in the Book Cliffs. That's actually on state land. And Henya Balalia of Peaceful Uprising isn't persuaded by their plan to use an organic solvent instead of water to extract the hydrocarbons.
A lot of what they'll be unleashing with these operations are toxins. Even the fact that they will be breaking down and breaking up particles means that any kind of toxin that's on their site will be solvable and will be a lot easier to move downstream.
Cody Stewart, the energy advisor to Governor Gary Herbert, said what's contemplated in eastern Utah would not cause the same kind of environmental damage that's occurred where tar sands are mined in Canada.
You know, I've been out to this area. I've seen the area and also heard a good description of what they want to do and how they plan to do it. And I think it's a very balanced and responsible approach and one that can be done in an environmentally sensitive way.
That didn't keep the demonstrators from indulging in a little street theater with a square-headed black blob calling itself the Tar Sands Monster. The actor inside said tar sands want to be left in the ground. Dan Bamas, KUER News.
Utah college students who might be dragging their feet and completing their degrees have a new incentive from Utah's higher education officials to hunker down and graduate sooner. Higher fees. The Utah State Board of Regents on Friday tightened the state's policy on excess credit hours. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
College students in Utah who pay in-state tuition already pay some additional tuition and fees if they accumulate credit hours beyond a certain threshold. But the Board of Regents decided on Friday to reduce that threshold and allow schools to charge students double tuition if they exceed it. Pamela Silberman is a spokesperson for Utah's system of higher education. She says students often explore academically before deciding on a major, which can put them over the limit.
Students are taking classes not so much because it's going to contribute to their major, but it's going to contribute to their intellectual development. Certainly, they should have the opportunity to do that as well. But it helps keep students on track to graduation for them to realize that if they're not focused on the completion, they may end up spending a lot more money.
Under the new policy, students will be allowed a fifth year of school, but not beyond that without possibly incurring a surcharge. Silberman adds colleges and universities can choose not to implement the charge. Students will be notified of the new policy as they enter the higher education system. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Salt Lake County's newly elected mayor has an online portal where citizens can offer input on his new administration. Ben McAdams says it's a resource for his administration as it lays out plans and priorities for the future of Salt Lake County.
This is a chance for, in an anonymous way, for members of the public, for employees of county government to weigh in and tell me if they think that's right, or even if it is heading in the right direction, where we can improve. There's always room for improvement.
McAdams' transition team includes Mayor Russ Wall of Taylorsville, Mara Carabella with the Public Affairs Exoro Group, and Michael Weinholz with CHG Healthcare Services. McAdams says they'll assemble subcommittees and focus on different branches of county government, report their findings back by December 1st. The public input portal is at benmcadams.com/feedback.
The final step in the election process is the canvassing board in each county that certifies the election results. There's still one race where that final vote tally could make a difference, the 4th Congressional District, where Democrat Jim Matheson had a narrow lead over Republican Mia Love on election night. The final tally will include absentee and provisional ballots that weren't counted earlier. The Utah Judicial Council voted 9-3 yesterday to permit video and audio recordings during trial court proceedings. The new rule that takes effect April 1st also allows cell phones, laptops, tablets, and other portable electronics in the courtroom. The Salt Lake Tribune reports some judges voiced concerns that the rule would mean handing control over the courtroom to the media, but the policy will allow judges to deny electronic access if there is cause for doing so. Provo police traded gunshots with someone inside a home where they were serving a search warrant last night. The Deseret News reports no one was hit by the bullets. They took two people into custody for questioning, and police say one of them could face serious charges. And finally, massive amounts of water have been shooting out of the diversion tubes at the Glen Canyon Dam since noon yesterday, with the intention of causing an artificial flood in the Colorado River. Regular flooding is part of the Colorado's natural history, and past experiments have shown it can have good results in rearranging sediment in the Grand Canyon and improving habitat for plants and wildlife. The tubes will be shut off today, and the river is expected to run high for the next 5 days. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, November 20th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.